Time for some classified sports results here on Manx Radio. Dave Moore in the chair, and we'll start off with football. Canada Life Premier League. Douglas Royal 4, Russian United 3. Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys 1, Maroun 4. Union Mills 3, Old Boys 1. Division 2, Foxdale 2, Castletown 1. And the game at Maloo and St John's was postponed. Braddon against Governors Athletic, the match was abandoned in the second half with the score at 1-1. Canada Life Combination 1, Russian United were given a home win over Douglas Royal. And it was Maroun 1, Ramsey Youth Centre, Old Boys 2. And in Combination 2, Castletown 3, Foxdale 1. And the game between Governors Athletic was a home win against Braddon. And moving now on to hockey, and I'll run through the scores as we go along. I think maybe if we reveal it, because I've got Manx Radio's hockey correspondent on the line, Sam Spooner. Sam, good afternoon, good evening, wherever we are with the sunshine at the moment, at around 20 minutes past five. We'll start off with the MHA Ladies Plate Final between Castletown B and Harlequins.
Yeah, fantastic game. Castletown B won 2-1 thanks to goals from Lois Hatton and Alex Cowley. They were up 1-0 at half-time. Hannah Nuttall was the consolation goal scorer for Harlequins in the second half. But Harlequins, at the start of the league season, started to run away with things. Castletown B, though, slowly but surely built up their confidence as the season's gone on to culminate in a women's plate final victory over Harlequins. So, fantastic result for Castletown. They've come away as winners with the first piece of silverware. Now all eyes turn their attention to the Rossborough Women's Division 1 and see if Castletown can overhaul Harlequins.
Okay. In the MHA Ladies Cup final, it was a comprehensive and somewhat expected victory for Vikings against Valkyries B.
It certainly was, but I have to say, a massive well done to Valkyries B. They're probably going to get relegated from the Women's Premier League, but they've... Every game I've seen them play, and I've seen them play a few times this season, they've given absolutely everything to the point they're almost crawling off the pitch. And today was no exception. Ella Troutler, I believe, is the goalkeeper for Valkyries. She could be a contortionist the way she stopped some of those Vikings attacks and saved some goals today. She stretched every sinew of her body to try and keep that scoreline down. And late in the second half, Valkyries B got their just reward with a goal from Lola Bass. Vikings A, though, they do go marching on. Sarah Blackman with 3, Mia Greenwood with 2, Captain Kim Carney with 2, and Chelsea Borden on the score sheet for their Women's Cup final win.
Congratulations then to Vikings. The MHA Men's Cup final sounds like this one was a cracker as well between Backers and Vikings.
Yeah, it was the same. I've said the same thing between the two sides before. It was a tale of penalty corners. Backers A scored 4 penalty corners. Andy Whiting with 4 goals and then Johnny Callow with 1. And then they scored a penalty flick as well. The Vikings A, though, they probably had a similar number of penalty corners, but they couldn't finish them in the same way the Backers could. But I have to say, Vikings A had the lion's share of possession in the second half. They had the better attacking opportunities. But Backers A, they always have a gear that they can just step up straight away. And they've come away 5-3 victors. Vikings A's goal scorers are Tim Henderson, Tom Wilson and Tom Evans. Now, next week, potentially, they see them face off against each other in the league, depending on whether the game's rescheduled or not. But Vikings, they'll be looking to that match for a redemption as early as they possibly can.
OK, we'll move on to the MHA Men's Plate Final between Vikings C and Castletown. Do we have a result for that one yet?
I do, and I can confirm it's Castletown A 2, Vikings C 0. Castletown Men's A with their first... silverware in quite some time, I believe. And yeah, 2 goals. I haven't got the goal scorers yet. That's literally just come in this second. And Castletown, a fantastic win for them. Probably sees them, that's probably going to be their only silverware this season after being comprehensively beaten last week by their closest league challengers.
So we've had 4 cracking knockout finals then. We'll move on to league now with the Rossborough Women's Premier League and a close game between Castletown and Ramsey.
Yeah, it was a close game. The result for Castletown, Castletown A, 1-0 win against Ramsey A. Helena Allen on the score sheet for Castletown. I have to say, that does move Castletown A into third place now above Backers A. And it's tight game now. Ramsey A, though, they've been sort of cut adrift from the top four. They're not threatened by relegation. They're sort of hovering in no man's land. But it was a great, great game by Ramsey A. But Castanet just managed to hold on for the win and sort of take that third place towards the end of the season.
And then Rossborough Men's Division 2, Ramsey B against Castletown Colts.
Yeah, a bit of a surprise here. Ramsey B were sitting from second from bottom, but they've now climbed over Castletown Colts into fourth place. Paul Hunter, Lewis Neal with one each for Ramsey B, and then Thomas Rooley with a hat-trick. Castletown Colts' goal scorers was Don Stewart and Ned McGregor.
So 5-2 to Ramsey B over Castletown Colts, and a big victory for Backers C against their Colts team.
Yeah, Backers Colts 6, Backers C 2. David Cowley with both the goals for Backers C. I haven't quite got the goal scorers for Backers Colts. That was a late pushback, though, so I'll expect those any minute.
And Rossborough Women's Division 2 between Castletown C and Backers C.
Huge result for Backers C. They haven't been at the top of the table at all season. This was the game that they still got a game in hand on the teams around them as well. But this result puts them top of the league with a game in hand. Big, big result for Backers C. Castletown C, they're probably now out of the title race with only a few games left. Mathematically, it's still possible for them, but they've got to rely on Backers C dropping points, and that really doesn't look likely with their form at the minute. Kate Lace, Abby Meller, Kirsty McConnell, Rachel Overman all with one, and then Orla Goddard of the famous hockey family with her mum and dad still playing hockey as well with two.
Excellent. So that wraps up this weekend. Next weekend, it's back to league business?
It is. I'm expecting a few postponements next week because we are celebrating a Manx hockey wedding. So for Backers, I think there's going to be maybe a couple of games postponed with Ellie Pearson and Chris Bass getting married next week. So good luck to those and good luck to them and congratulations.
OK, and what about Isle of Man representation off the island? Have we had any recently and are we expecting any very soon?
There isn't any anymore. The last one was the Isle of Man under-14s boys who went out, unfortunately, in the semi-final of the EHA, England Hockey Championship, but we are expecting some in the summer with the senior sides and the counties tournaments. I think they're travelling away. There was talk of it being hosted on the Isle of Man, but that is unfortunately not feasible due to costs for teams travelling over. Mm-hmm. So I believe the Isle of Man men's and Isle of Man ladies teams are going to be travelling away to play in those competitions in the summer.
And I believe some youngsters are going to be representing their clubs across as well soon.
Yeah, so I think the Isle of Man, the under-14s boys, girls, winners will be going away and playing in a tournament representing their clubs in the UK as well. I'm not sure when that is. I will try and seek details for next week, though.
Excellent. OK. Any more hockey news on the horizon?
Not at this point in time, Dave, but I always get a few snippets of information during midweek in time for the weekend. So any gossip I come across, I'll let you know.
And so I'm going to put you right on the spot here, I'm afraid, Sam. Sorry. So what have we still got left to decide? Is everything still open? Have we got, we crowned champions in various divisions already, etc.? How are things looking?
So the only champions at this point are Harlequins B in the Rossborough Men's Division 2. Everything is still left to play for. The Men's Premier League could be decided next week between Vikings A and Backers A, and almost decided, depending on whether that game goes ahead. In the Women's Premier League, Vikings A will win it if they earn a point. The Rossborough Men's Division 1, that one will probably go down to the final weekend. The same in Rossborough Women's Division 1. That's a really tight battle now between Harlequins and Castletown B. And as I said before, the closest league across all the leagues is Rossborough Women's Division 2, and that is looking really, really tight. But Backers C have just stolen the march there. They've got a game in hand, and they've gone top of the table. So the teams around them are going to be looking for them to drop points in the last three or four games of the season.
And one more little final question. Isle of Man, the men's and women's hockey teams representing the island, anything in the future for them?
Yeah, just in the... I think they've got the counties tournaments in the summer, There's been talk this year, which is quite interesting, of the Isle of Man senior sides representing the Isle of Man in the club knockout competitions and the England Hockey Championships this year. Didn't quite come to fruition as it planned out, because the men's team went out early on. But I believe that they're looking at doing that again next season.
Excellent. Sounds good. OK, Sam, we'll let you go. Thanks very much for that roundup. Congratulations to all the ladies and men's winners today in the Ladies Plate, Ladies Cup, Men's Cup and Men's Plate finals. Again, Castletown B beating Harlequins by 2-1 in the Ladies Plate final, in the Ladies Cup final. Vikings A beating Valkyries B 7-1 in the MHA Men's Cup final. Backers A beating Vikings A 5-3 in the MHA Men's Plate final. Victory for Castletown over Vikings C by 2-0. We now turn our attention to rugby, and with the news of what was, I would imagine, a pretty difficult day for Douglas up against the league leaders in rugby, here is Dave Christian. Good evening, Dave.
Yes, thanks, Dave. Yeah, it was always likely to be a difficult day for them. Stockport, coming into the game, had played 23, won 23. They were champions of North One West, and in fact have picked up a tremendous amount of bonus points as well. I think out of their 23 wins, they'd scored 4 tries or more on 17 occasions. So Stockport been having an absolutely cracking season. Douglas, on the other hand, started slowly. Their opening game, actually, they thought they'd won it. It was a last-minute score by Vale of Lune that denied them a win away from home in day one of the season. But from that point onwards, really, they've struggled a little bit, and it's come to a head right at the end of the season. A couple of postponements early on and some travel problems at the beginning of the season meant that they've had a full fixture list since the first weekend in January. The only weekend off they had was on the 19th of February when the heavy snow shower came through, and their game against Altrincham Kersall had to get called off quite last minute as well because the pitch wasn't fit. So Douglas have played 13 consecutive weekends now with no break at all. And next week it gets worse for them because they've got to go up to Kendal next week, who are in fourth place. But, and there's light at the end of the tunnel for them, they have a free weekend at Easter. And that will be a welcome break for everybody. The side that went out today, a little bit makeshift. I know the Martin brothers, Kyle and Craig Martin, they're both off island. They're actually away on a rugby trip with Castletown Rugby Club, who have gone off to Yarnbury in Yorkshire, and they'll all be in action up there this afternoon in a couple of friendly games. But for Douglas today, pretty much a makeshift side. Mike Osborne back into the team. Harry Raven, who's a multi-positional forward normally, front row, back row, he found himself out on the wing. And Carl Markle Ferns, who's again back row or who normally, found himself at scrum half. So Douglas struggling with the positions, and 53-0 the score was. Originally reported 52, but 53 the final score was. It's confirmed now. 9 tries and a bonus point for Stockport. And the glimmer of hope that I talked about for Douglas at dinner time obviously didn't come to fruition. The hope was that Stockport might take their foot off the gas and try and blood some new players. Clearly they haven't done that. And Kendal will still be fighting for promotional places. So next week is going to be a toughie for them as well. I think Douglas will be glad for that break at Easter. They've got one fixture left after that, I think, against Vale of Lune at Portishee. That's on the 23rd of April. In the Manx Cup, a different game altogether. Ramsey won 62-24 in the Ravenscroft Manx Cup tie at the Murrick Park. But, and I know it's a bit of a sporting cliche, but it's a game where the scoreline doesn't really reflect the match itself. Ramsey led 22-14 at half-time. Vagabonds kicked a penalty early in the second half to reduce that lead to 22-17. And even after an hour, it was 34-24, so just a 10-point gap between the two. And the floodgates really opened for Ramsey in the final 20 minutes. Lucas Simmons got things underway for Vagabonds. They scored first in the fourth minute. He intercepted a pass inside his own 22. And with Ramsey pressing forward, there was nobody in defence. And he romped home underneath the post at the other end. Converted his own score for a 7-0 lead. Ramsey then hit back in the first half. There were tries from Jared May, Danny Howard, Brandon Atchison and Dan Richmond, with Dan Richmond converting one of those four scores. And they were looking to be cruising, and just before half-time, Vagger's big second row, Connor Coulthard, he smashed his way over the line from close range. Lucas Simmons added the conversion, and Vagabonds were within 8 points. Simmons, as I said, kicked a penalty early in the second half. That reduced the gap to 5 points before Danny Howard and Brendan Atchison both picked up their second tries of the game. And that pushed Ramsey back out in front. Then they lost Daniel Bonwick to a yellow card. Unfortunately, the referee, Darren Thompson, had given Ramsey a team warning for repeated penalty infringements and said the next penalty is off. Unfortunately, it was Dan Bonwick, or unfortunately for Dan Bonwick, it was him. He got his 10 minutes in the cooler. He'd only just come on at half time, so he played 20 minutes and got a 10-minute break. While he was in the sin bin, Luke Purdy muscled his way over for Vagabonds for a try. Lucas Simmons converted, and the lead was down to 10 points. But in that final 20 minutes, Ramsey just ran away with it. Tries from Rory Nicholson, Jake Richmond, Dan Richmond went in for his second, and Fintan Cummins saw them really close the game out in some style. Dan Richmond added four conversions, which gave him a 20-point haul in the match, and Fintan Cummins kicked one. And they'll be both pleased with their performance. Cummins just back from a long-term injury, so he's proved himself fit and able, and he kicked this final conversion from the touchline as well, so he's still on target with the boot of two. So fair day for Ramsey. That will put top of the Manx Cup standings. They've got one game left. It's against Vagabonds again. It's on the 23rd of April, the week after Easter. And that is up at Bella Fletcher. It's a postponed match from the snow day on the 19th of February. But I don't think it'll affect Ramsey now. They will be confirmed as the number one seed in the Manx Cup semi-finals. They will play the team that finishes fourth. For Vagabonds, they need to pick up a point, otherwise it will be Vagabonds again. And they're sort of waiting for a good game to come along, and then three goal come along at once. So Ramsey Vagabonds today, Ramsey Vagabonds on the 23rd. And unless Vagabonds pick up a point to get themselves out of fourth place in the standings, it will be Ramsey Vagabonds in the semi-final of the Manx Cup. And that will be on the 30th of April.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.
Thanks to Dave Christian for the update with Manx Rugby, and he'll be back again next week, of course. And also, again, we heard from Sam Spooner for hockey. And our trio is made up by Tony Mappam, who's raced up to Broadcasting House from the fantastic efforts of FC Isle of Man this afternoon. Sounds like it was a cracking game, Tony.
Second half, yes, definitely. First half was a little bit of a problem, but you know, it was just one of those. Substitution was forced on them. Furu Davies, it looks as if he's done his quad, so that's him sort of out. But Charlie Higgins came on. What a sub to bring on, because he's been in great form, but he's been missing for quite a while due to injury. Dan Simpson's taken that left slot because it's been a right battle going all season with them. And I think Charlie changed the game unbelievably. Adam Meelan got the man of the match, rightly so, for his two goals. But his first goal was made by Charlie. And I spoke to Adam at the end of the game and just said, what were you thinking? Because it was as if he was trying to dig it out of his feet. But he was all over the place, but he managed to get it in. But the second one was totally down to him, because, again, Charlie Higgins down that left-hand side, and the ball crossed over, and Adam Meelan controlled it. He went as if he was going to shoot, pulled it back, and then hit it with his left foot and into the back of the net. It went 2-1, and the result is just immense, and it just leads on now to this massive journey and a big semi-final playoff next week.
With what they've achieved in these last few months and where they've got themselves to blow it now would be devastating, I think.
Well, it would, because it was a massive commitment, and you know, it's like anything. It happened with Guernsey. It happened with Jersey Bulls when they sort of entered into the league structure. The same with FC Isle of Man. You just think it's going to rip the heart out of Manx football. Yes, it's taken the quality out of it because, 25 or so, maybe a few more players, because when you look at Alex Harrison, you've also got Frank Jones, who's just had an operation. They've got injuries through it, but that's not because of the standard of football. It's just the way things sort of happen. But when you look at COVID 1, COVID 2, and then last season, the Manx season ran till the end of June to complete. And then Northwest Counties, I believe, brought the league forward to, I think it was the end of July. Mm. They had to start again. So there's no rest for the players. No pre-season for Chris and Lee to get their feel on it. Not that they had to, because they're all good players. And then all them games away, Dave, it was just massive pressure on the team. And they want to produce, because let's face it, results produce atmosphere. Atmosphere produces bigger crowds, and that's what's happened right the way through. And today, 1,800 people there. Unbelievable.
Do you see, having been at most of FC Isle of Man's games this season, do you see them gelling better now than early on? Is that bonding there that maybe... obviously, there was a lot of away games, but when they started playing their home games, have they gelled, do you think?
I think the players had already got that friendship together, because they played for the Ireland team, for the Isle of Man FA's representative team. But I think what it is that, when I look at our players, Corinthians players, they're used to playing in front of a crowd of, maybe 100 people, and other players will be even less. But now they're playing in crowds at home of between 1,500 and 2,500. Mm. And I expect even more next week and the week after.
And I believe, because obviously I've been here, I've not had the opportunity to go to one of the matches yet, but I believe each of the players has their own song, supposedly, from the crowd and what have you. So, yeah, I don't know how true that is. I'm told.
Yeah, it probably is true. I can't hear it because I've got the headphones on, but I would say so, yes, because today was the first time myself and Rob could really see the crowd, because normally it's a cold night and everyone's underneath the cover and whatever. Mm. There's 1,500 people there, and on the far side, you just see a few. But today, underneath the cover, they went over to the other side, and you could see in the second half, Dave, they all went through behind Abby Holton's goal just to see if anything could happen. And just Charlie Higgins coming off that bench changed things massively. And then two super goals by Adam Meehan just means now they can go into the semi-final playoff next Saturday, knowing that they finished second in the league. And with all the players back in there as well, it gives a bit of a nightmare now to Lee Dixon and Chris Bass.
I know we shouldn't get ahead of ourselves, but I'm going to.
Yep.
Let's just say they keep progressing and progressing and progressing. And, I mean, I've heard the target is League Two,
yep,
fourth tier of English football. But if they were to go that far, you would then not see very many local players in the team. Is that, I mean, so...
Tough question.
You know, where does that journey go to? Because, as I say, we look now, I mean, there's the lad... Short, is it, at Wigan? Adam Long.
Dean Pinnington as well.
Yes, right, yeah. Wigan. Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, you can loosely say Kieran Tierney.
Arsenal,
yeah. But, you know, at what point does that, you know, does the FC Isle of Man using local players, I mean, obviously we can't predict what level they would be at, but, you know, how would that work?
Yeah, I always remember at the start of this sort of possible dream of having a team entered in the league structure, that people were saying, listen, we haven't produced a professional player in whatever, 125 years of Manx football. How are we going to suddenly produce 11? But you have to start somewhere. These are good players. When you look back, and Dave, you'll have watched games with St George's, where they went on whatever it was, 10, 11 league titles. Absolutely brilliant. But they have to start somewhere. They're in step six. They've got promotion, a massive chance now of promotion. And then when you look at the Premier League next year, they've already played Avro, they've already played Liverpool, and give real good accounts.
And Billingham Synthonia.
Yep. So they've done really well. But let's not step ahead of ourselves.
No, I just think it's a fascinating topic, because
it's a dream.
Yeah, you know, because I've heard League Two being mentioned as the, you know, the, I didn't get to see the TV slot last week either. I don't know if that was mentioned then, you know, how far they expect this dream to keep going. But I just wonder, you know, at what point does, you know, it become a professional or semi-professional setup and we start having to look at bringing other players in to progress FC Isle of Man up the league pyramid?
Yeah, well, Paul Jones is leading it and he's got a great array of people around him. But, you know, again, I only pick up what I'm told. But there's two teams in the First South, which the FC Isle of Man are in, are playing. Don't get paid. FC Isle of Man are one. I'm not too sure who the other one is. So all the players get a little bit of money. It's not 400,000 a week. It doesn't happen. Otherwise, they'd be on one. But all them costs come in. But the way I see it is this was a massive undertaking financially because the team that have travelled today, Abbey Hutton, have come over basically free of charge because FC Isle of Man have to pay for their flights for 25 people. And also put them up in a hotel tonight. And the same will happen next week in the semi-final that they have to pay all them, sort of the money. And then when FC Isle of Man go across, they have to pay for...
It's FC Isle of Man paying every time.
It is. And then it's not only that. You've got to pay for all sorts right the way through. And it's not easy. I know being involved with the Isle of Man FA, the silly little things like, you know, coach suddenly £1,000 gone there. And, you know, the Isle of Man have always taken cash on the gate. You know, FC Isle of Man have stepped on that and the computer system is in there. That all costs money, Dave. So
and they have support as well. I mean, the likes of Manx Telecom, etc. without, so I understand, you know, financial support from local business.
There's a lot of businesses in there that chip in. Robinson's one. FC Isle of Man is the main sponsor because they got the shirt. But Rex Motors, Ian Drake, terrific job. Massive fan of football and sponsors our sports programme on Manx Radio, which is incredible to see these companies come out and do this. But, you know, Manx Telecom was a big undertaking to try and get a big company, and FC Isle of Man got that. And next year, if they're playing in the Premier League, it's the same again. It's the same they have to do. They have to pay for the teams to come to the Isle of Man. They have to pay for themselves to go across. But if they went up again into whatever league it will be, then those sort of expenses stop. And then, to me, I'm looking at it, then the players will be looking over their shoulders and thinking, well, if everyone else is getting paid in that league, why aren't we? It's not big money. But at the moment, the Isle of Man players, FC Isle of Man players, have done the Isle of Man proud. We're a small island in the middle of the Irish Sea with always a good band of footballers coming through the system. You know, we've won the Interleague Cup and represented England on two occasions. But now this is totally different. And the credit has to go to every single person involved in that committee, to every single player, and also to the stewards. Because when you watch it down there when they're packing up, it's just a slick operation and credit should be given to all of them.
And especially with all the costs involved, FC Isle of Man, very deserved winners of the Ambassadors of the Year award at the sports the other evening.
Definitely. And, you know, when you look at what they've done, you know, right the way through, they're representing Isle of Man. When you look at Mark Cavendish, yes, he's competing, he's making a living, but he's representing the Isle of Man. Tara Donnelly's the same as a gymnast. And the netball, it's all Isle of Man, Isle of Man. And it's a terrific Isle of Man. And a big pat on the back, Dave, has to go to government as well because government fund so many sports. You know, I nipped over and watched a quarter of an hour of the hockey and you see all the players down there playing the hockey for the finals. Good crowd down there. Then when you look at the running track and you look at the swimming pool, just everything through. And like our most successful sports, when you look at it, it's probably shooting and cycling. But now the other sort of minor sports now are starting to come through. I look at Bala Fletcher. We're so, so grateful for the assistance that Douglas Royal, Vagabonds and Corinthians got for that venture up there. But then the government look at it and probably are proud that they chose those three clubs because they've developed that facility in the last 10 years with limited funds to improve it. And that's what sport should be.
OK, well, you brought it right round to local football, which is good. So, yeah, we've had not a packed... I can't think of the word, but itinerary today. But we'll start off in Canada Life Premier League. And what a result between Douglas Royal and Russian United. 4-3 to Douglas Royal. And that is a big blow to Rushen United's hopes of landing the Canada Life Premier League title this season?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I don't think Rushen expected it because Ayr United were sort of 6 points ahead of them. You know, they've got a game in hand as well. But it was 3-0 to Douglas Royal at one stage, I believe. And it's been hard to get all the information through because we were covering the FC Isle of Man game. But Dominic McCarry-Brennan were there too. And Lewis Roberts, that's Carl's young fellow, got two goals. So terrific result.
From what I understand, Rushen went 1-0 up in the first minute.
Right.
And then Douglas Royal hit them for 3-1, half time. Second, Steve Riding with the goal for Rushen United. Luke Roberts and Chris Shimmon then pulled two back for Rushen to make it 3-3. And that was 5 minutes into the second half. The game was at 3-3. And then Douglas Royal popped up with the winner to make it 4-3.
It's a great battle, and Douglas Royal, when you look at the players, two of them today play for FC Isle of Man, Sam Baines and also Taylor Andrews. So they're a really strong team there, and that's all down to Michael Fitzmaurice. He's coached at junior level. He came through the development centre as a coach, and then these young players, once they've reached that 16, they're at different clubs, have just said, we want to go and play for this guy because he can make us a good team. And that's what's happening when you look at the players that are in there. And Dominic McCarry-Brennan has been terrific for them this year, and certainly I would think he's on the radar of playing Slattery, just like Tom Creagh, who plays for Onchan. So terrific result for Douglas Royal, well done to them. And Rushen, you know, disappointed, but they've lost so many players to FC Isle of Man. It's been a struggle for them, but to me, I think they've done really well with the players that they've missed out, and a credit to the players that have been brought into that team.
And the league leaders themselves, Ayr United, were held to a 1-1 draw away at Peel.
Yeah, I was just checking through on that information, and it's a bit sketchy, as I say, we've just come in. But evidently it was George Rawlinson, an own goal for Peel. For Ayr United, it was Harry Best on 76 minutes, and the own goal was 8 minutes, so Peel led for a long, long time. Few chances created in the first team, first half, sorry, Ayr applying pressure towards the end. So second two sets of points, or the second draw for Ayr United this season.
Yeah, another close result for Ayr United as well. You know, again, we mentioned this the other week. They just always seem to, they're very close games that either win by a goal or, as today, end up drawing 1-1.
Yeah, and I think today the big problem for them was Sean Kelly suspended. So he'll miss, I think he got three games, so that's one out of the way. He's been magnificent, and, you know, he does so much good work on the park, brings the other teams into it as well. His big throw is always a problem to deal with. But Ayr United look as if they're going to win that league. Games are starting to run out now for everybody else, and with Rushen getting beat, now it's going towards Ramsey to see if they can push for that second spot.
And staying up in the north, I think if Ramsey Youth Centre Old Boys had any hope of anything, they had to beat them around today. But 4-1 defeat at home, I think that pretty much condemns them really to life in Division 2 next season.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, it's a shame really, Dave. And you've played in Manx football, and I always find it really hard to understand where a group of players work so hard to get promoted. Mm. They get promoted and then they jump ship. I don't really understand that, because this season was always going to be a suck it and see season, just to see how it goes with the top teams losing all their players, like Rushen, St George's. Peel have lost a couple, Corinthians. So it was always going to even up.
And no St Mary's as well.
Exactly. So it was always going to be one of those that it was wide open there. Old Boys were next to the bottom this morning. Union Mills are just above them. And it's just an opportunity for clubs to develop. But, you know, Ramsey Youth Centre lost so many good players this season. And they've got a conveyor belt of good young players that who come through the system. So they've always been pretty strong. But today, against Moran, they couldn't do it. Tim Redmond with one goal. Connor Gilbert got one. Mikey Callister and Ryan Dean. And thanks to David Brew for putting the score through. Cracking result for Moran. And, you know, Moran are another who have had so many good young players in there. Now they're sort of mid-20s and coming good. And it was the Moran boy that won the game today for FC Isle of Man in Adam Milan.
Okay, the other game, a couple of teams also near the bottom, but really with because there's only one team going down. Otherwise, it would have been a bit kind of sketchy for Old Boys, because they're second bottom, which is incredible. But they lost 3-1 to, I can't call them relegation rivals. Yeah, but but they're not relegation rivals because really Ramsey Youth Centre look as if they're down. But two teams near the bottom, but Union Mills getting the win 3-1.
Yeah, but Union Mills knew it was always going to be tough this season because last year there was a big gulf between Division 2 and the Premier League. Now there isn't. And it showed if you stick with your young players, then there's a good opportunity that you're going to do okay and just build on it. And that's what happened today because Jordan Crawley, not so young, still young enough with a hat-trick. So he was the difference between Mills and Douglas High School Old Boys. Jacob Stones got the goal for Old Boys. Four 16-year-old players played for Union Mills today, and wow, two 17-year-olds, and one of those players is about to go to Altrincham, I believe, on whatever it is, and that's Leo Fox, so we wish him well. We'll get some more information on that, but it just shows the quality that is coming through. The young players work hard, and as you know, a person that looks at Manx football, quite critical at times, why players don't stay with us all the time, they sort of bunk out at 16 to 18. That now seems to be changing a little bit, where players are now staying with their clubs and hopefully develop from there. But there's still an awful lot of players that drop out of it.
Younger players, Union Mills with a youth system as well?
Yeah, it is. And Union Mills had a terrific system 4 to 5 years ago. And unfortunately, a full team near enough left and went to Geordies. Mm. And another team a year younger left and went to Geordies, but now most of those players are playing at other clubs as well. So, you know, even though people can criticise that certain clubs can hog the junior setup, nine times out of ten, you know, just say for talking sake, you've got 20 really good players coming through, Dave. You can't play them all.
No.
So they end up, they make new friends and they go and play for other clubs. And as long as they stay in Manx football, I don't care.
Okay, good. Let's go to Division 2. And first of all, the game between Braddon and Governors, because it was 1-1. And then I believe there was an injury in the second half and the game was abandoned.
Yeah, there was. Ollie Waite, who dislocated his kneecap, I believe. And I've got pictures of a young lad.
You keep those pictures.
Dislocated his kneecap a couple of weeks ago. And it's not a pretty sight, Jack Grimley. But unfortunately, the referee just said, no, Steve Dowdle, right decision, and decided to go. And I haven't got the score in for St George's and Ramsey. Have you, Dave?
Oh, no, I haven't. No.
So it'd be interesting to have that one. If you could text me, please, then we can give
we can round off the Premier League. Yeah,
mention we know what we're up to.
Okay, one game that did finish in Division 2 was a 2-1 victory at home for Foxdale over Castletown.
Yeah, good result for Foxdale. Haven't got their goal scorers through, but certainly for Castletown, it's a lot closer game than last time because it was 4-0 to Foxdale. But it was Harry Hinks who got the goal, and it was 2-1 at half-time. Harry, give it all. But they couldn't quite get that equalising goal towards the end of the game.
Keeps Foxdale right in the hunt for promotion as well, doesn't it?
Well, it does, because Malou, obviously, today, the game didn't happen. We'll come to that in a minute.
Okay.
But, you know, Foxdale need to keep chipping away, because Malou, if they'd lost today, then I just think they were out of it. But Onchan and St John's still look like the two top sides.
They still have quite a few games to play, though, haven't they? Because of their cup involvements, especially the top four, seem to all have a lot of games in hand on the teams below them.
Yeah, they do, and it's just the way the weather's gone. But we've looked at it. We've had a chat. We're going to start the night games 12th and 13th of April. So we'll get those fixtures out tomorrow. But St John's have got floodlights, so they played on Tuesday. They beat Malou 5-1, and they've got a game against Douglas and District on this Tuesday coming at St John's. So they were on 11-12 with Tuesday game. They should have played the 13th today and 14th on Tuesday, so they're back to 13.
And they've got a Woods Cup final against Malou coming up as well, haven't they? So
yeah, they have. And
that's Easter Monday?
Easter Monday, sorry. Yeah. And that's 2 o'clock kickoff. Again, two good sides, but St John's showed their sort of true class, I think, on Tuesday with that Super 5-1 victory against Malou.
Yeah, okay. Douglas Athletic against Michael United. I don't have anything for that game.
No, haven't got the score
through. We said about Malou against Foxdale. I believe the game was called off 10 minutes before kickoff.
Yeah, I've got to be honest here. Not good. That's not good enough what happened today. genuine reasons we can understand.
Isn't there not a situation that once you get to a certain time that the game has to go ahead?
It's one of those, Dave. I had to make a decision, and I'm trying to look at a game today, and it was one of those that you get a phone call at 2:10 to say that we've got 4 players with COVID, and with playing last night, none of those players who played last night couldn't play today.
So is there a decision to be made about home wins, away wins, etc., maybe being applied here?
It's very difficult with COVID, Dave, because you've got to be so careful. You're dealing with a health issue here, and you go by the honesty of the clubs to do, and it's quite common that games are called off in all sports on the Isle of Man. Mm-hmm. But when you look at St John's are on that pitch warming up, that's not right. If the players have got COVID, it doesn't happen between 12 and 2:10. Mm-hmm. So the instruction should have come through straight away that there was an issue. But it just ended up with, Malou, from the information I got, would only have 7 players to start. Now, you have to start a game with 7 players.
That's right.
But if one of those players gets injured and goes off, the game's abandoned and rearranged, that becomes farcical. So something's, not right here, as in calling it off so late. And I can understand St John's disappointment. We'll rearrange the game. The thing is now, there's the restrictions from COVID now are totally different, but we're not medical people. We're there to organise football, Dave. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately today, for whatever reason, Malou have got caught out with having players with COVID.
Okay, that's all I have for Division 2. Moving on to Canada Life Combination 1. Around 1-0 up at half-time against Ramsey Youth Centre Old Boys, but goals from Aaron Broad and Jamie Leach giving the visitors the points.
Yeah, and that's a good result for them. And, I just haven't got any more information on that one. But, Moran, combination side again, bringing some good young players through, and they had a good battle today.
Rushen were given a home win over Douglas Royal. Ayr United against Peel in combination 1.
Yeah, I think I've got that score that's just come through, if you'll bear with me. And the score was, if it's right here, Peel... No, that's not the one. That's a previous one. No, so we haven't got that score through for the combination.
And that's all I have for combination 1. So we move on to combination 2. And the only result we had fed through here to Broadcasting House was a 3-1 victory for Castletown at home to Foxdale.
Okay, that's all the information I've got as well. But I have got one more result, which was Jim's 2, Douglas and District 3. Ben Hall with a couple, I think it is, and Brian Tung with 1. They were 2-0 up at one stage, but Jim's clawed a couple of goals back, but the 3 points go to D&D.
I believe Gunners Athletic were given a home win over Braddon. There were games between Colby and Onken.
Yeah, I think that Governors Athletic against Braddon, we'll check on what's happened on that one, because obviously there are different situations we're dealing with at the moment. Mm-hmm. Colby against Onken, I didn't have that score through.
No, me neither. And Michael against Douglas Athletic?
Nothing came through.
Okay. We're going to wrap things up in a minute, but there's a couple of semi-finals tomorrow, starting with the Canada Life Women's FA Cup semi-finals, which we drew last week. Castletown are at home to Douglas Royal, and there should be a cracking game in the West down at Peel between Peel and Corinthians.
There should be, but if I can just go back, Dave, to James Cherry for listening to us and giving us a score. St George's against Ramsey finished up 0-0, so I think that's a fair result for St George's, considering that the players that they had missing today, Carl Clark was taken out for FC Isle of Man as well. Mm-hmm. And Ramsey still keep in touch in that top three.
A rarity, 0-0 in Manx football, isn't it? As I was saying, tomorrow we've got the Women's Cup semi-finals, Castletown against Douglas Royal. You would expect Douglas Royal should get through on that one, but Peel Corinthians, you would say with home advantage and... they're the form team, Peel, and Corinthians, they're a great side. Maybe you could say they're the top two teams in women's football at the moment in the Isle of Man. But that game could still go either way.
Well, it could, and that's why it makes it more exciting tomorrow afternoon, because you know, when it was drawn out, I'm a Corinthians supporter, but, you know, it's great to see because it gives another team the opportunity because Douglas Royal have been struggling over the last couple of games, fielding teams, players away and older players not available. And it gives opportunity for Castletown as well to play into a final. But Peel and Corinthians will be a right humdinger at Douglas Road because there's so many quality players in there. Sarah Wignall, you've got Sarah O'Reilly, you've got Becky Corkish in there as well. It's really a good team. But Corinthians, when you look through Casey Halsall, you've also you know, got the younger ones, Nicola Townsend coming through there.
Chloe Tier.
Chloe Tier, I think, may be playing yet. You've got there Holly Sumner. They're a really good team, but Shannon Groves at the back. She's not the tallest of players, but what a terrific centre-half.
And Stevie Mallon.
Yeah, Stevie Mallon as well. Who's
If she's available.
Yeah, because obviously she's away with Chester. But still can play for Corinthians. So I haven't got any team news on that one.
No.
But the Peel and Corinthians are going to be whoever plays best on the day. And Castletown against Douglas Royal, if they do get the diehards there for Douglas Royal, because a few that can't play every week, then it would probably make them the stronger of the two teams.
You'd expect so, but if Douglas Royal are struggling to, you know, they can only get 11 players, it might just give Castletown just a little bit of, you know, hope that they might be able to achieve something.
Definitely, Dave, and it's at the stadium, which will entice a good crowd down there, good support. But, you know, Douglas Royal have still got players there of quality. And I noticed one or two of the younger players that play played the other day in the School Shield final. And they won it. So it just shows what quality is in there.
Yeah, Ballacameen won that the other day against Peel. Were you down there, were you?
No, I wasn't there. Did you go on a
I had a look, it was good. It was 0-0 and then Mika Chen got a couple of goals. She plays for Douglas Royal.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the other goal scorer. And then Peel grabbed one back late on. But and I believe that was the first time they had an 11-a-side girls school shield. I believe. I don't know how true that is. That's what I read somewhere. It's the first time they've had 11 aside, because I think in the past it's been like 9 aside.
Yeah, I think you could be right. And, you know, out there, it's still a lot of work to be done for women's football. But, there's, you know, the Ireland team's back up and running now. It's great. This year we've had a bit of a struggle with Colby and they stopped halfway through the season. We've got Union Mills at the moment who are a little bit vulnerable, you know, and it goes down to players' availability when you're working with a squad. But you actually watch the Ireland team train, and basically most of the Ireland team is Peel and Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to have a look at it and judge it, then go tomorrow afternoon.
Go and have a look for yourself. Yeah, definitely worth a one. If you're in the West tomorrow, go and have a look at Peel against Corinthians, especially if we've got more weather like we've had this afternoon. So
definitely.
There's also the Masters semi-finals tomorrow. They take place at the Bowl, don't they?
They do. 2:10 kickoff is the Colby against Onken. Now, I know Onken are one or two players short because they've gone away to watch Man United and Liverpool. So, you know, Colby have been one of the standout Masters teams since Masters football started. But Corinthians against Douglas Royal, another Corinthians team. We were quite happy with that team. But Douglas Royal are a good side. And Douglas Royal must start off as slight favourites on that one. But it's a semi-final.
Yeah.
It's great to see the old men being given a chance to play in a final.
And that's a 3:40 kickoff, I think, isn't it, that one?
3:40.
Yeah, 2:10 for the first one and both games at the Bowl.
That's it, 35 minutes each way because they're old men.